Okay, my friends. The last thing the Rebbe said, it wasn't his own, it was brilliant, but it wasn't his own, it's from the Shlach Kaddish. The Heilige Shlach Kaddish says in the Pasuk, Al Toichach Leitz Pen Yisno Echo, which in the simple reading means don't bother giving Musa to a Leitz because he's anyway just going to hate you for it. But says the Shlach Kaddish, it doesn't mean that. This is when you give someone Musar, don't tell him he's a Leitz. Don't tell him you're a Mazik. Don't tell him that you're a good for nothing. Adir, because then he'll hate you. Adir Abba, Hoychach Lo Chochom, tell him what a Chochom he is. Tell him how wise he is. And there's a famous story. I'm sorry, I'm not good with names and stories. But there's a famous story about one of the Rebbe who was in this Talmud's house. And one of his sons was making trouble. So he said, Mazik, go to your room. And the Rebbe said, it's not the way you should talk to your child. He says, what am I supposed to do? He said, Tzadik, don't act like a Mazik. Tzadik, call him a Mazik. So then that's what you call him. There's a person who I know who went through a tremendous amount of struggles in his life. And you might even hear him say this publicly. He's a relatively public person. And he said, you know, people called me Shegetz. People walked around because he was a little bit, you know, he wasn't 100%, cookie cutter. People called me Shegetz. And how many times can people call me Shegetz without me believing I'm Shegetz? After a while, I said, you know what? I am a Shegetz. Shai, you want me to be a Shegetz? I'm a Shegetz. I start acting like a Shegetz. And then everyone said, I told you he's a Shegetz. You made me a Shegetz. You know, how many times can I hear people calling me Shegetz? And I'm not going to act like a Shegetz. After a while, I just gave up. I said, okay, I guess I'm a Shegetz. You know, but so don't tell people you're a Leitz, you're a Mazik. Adrabo, Chochom. Tell him he's a Chochom v'yavecha, and he'll love you for it. Mashal, we're up page Chaf Hey. Mashal lemi shemeshabchin oisay befanav. A mashal for someone that they gave him, they meshabeach him. Shenadvanhu, that he is a very big giver of tzedakah. He's a very charitable person. Oz yesh sheyischazek loseis nedava. Now then he'll give a bigger nedava. By the way, if you ever see good fundraisers, and Beis Hashem, all of us are going to have to try to get into good fundraising. So what do? They go in, they tell him, oh, he's such a big bad stucker, you give so much money, I'm so, it's amazing. Everyone says how great you are, amazing, could you maybe give me $100,000 just for, or whatever. That's the way you do it. You got to grease the wheels a little bit. How do you do that? You tell them, I heard that you give so much stucker and you're such a nice person, and all of a sudden there's an expanse that's happening, and that's the way it goes, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, you have to, go through that whole thing. But Lemaisa, that's the way it works. Because when you tell someone he's a Nadvan, you tell someone that he's a big giver of tzedakah, all of a sudden he becomes, when we spoke about it last time, about this kid that they played that game on, what a great game, I wish someone would play that game on me, where they told him that he's a big davener and that Hashem listens to his tefillahs, and he bought in. And the truth is that we all are that way. Hashem listens to all of our tefillahs. It's just we don't realize that the difference between a great person and not a great person is a great person knows Hashem's listening. If we knew Hashem's listening, our tefillos, our shmonesos would look very, very different. If we really, really knew, I mean, it's obvious, right? We would go, you know, if there was someone that was in need for Yeshua, and we would spend tremendous amounts of money, we would work very, very hard, someone we really cared about, his life was hanging in the balance, so why wouldn't we daven for them? Why wouldn't we daven? The hardest thing for me, and I'm really being very honest with you right now, being very honest. The hardest thing for me, by what happened yesterday, is that I felt I did not daven hard enough. I feel guilty. I feel guilty. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner is someone who gave me a lot of time, and he cared for me, and I feel like I didn't give him enough. It wasn't right. And it hurts, because you feel like, I do feel a little bit like I'm to blame. I do. But if I would have, taken it to heart, that my tefillah is going to make a difference, then I would have done better. And we have to try to internalize that. When you want a person to give tzedakah, you have to try to get him into the mind frame of you are a big nadvin, you're a giver. You get a person into a mind frame that he is a person who Hashem listens to his tefillahs, and you get into that zone. You're supposed to get into that zone before you daven and realize that Hashem's going to listen to this tefillah. And you have the power in your tefillah now to make the change. And maybe we haven't davened hard enough. And I'm not saying, doesn't mean automatically Hashem's going to answer your tefillah, bing, bing, it's going to happen like that. Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven 515 tefillahs, and still, you know, there's a big wall over there. But you do have it in your hands. You do have it in your power. I want to share with you an amazing story. It's an amazing story. It's a secular story. It's a story that happens. It's a sports story, but I think that story brings out the point. There was a pitcher who pitched in the Major League Baseball. Once upon a time, that was a national pastime. And he was mediocre. He pitched for the Baltimore Orioles. Yes, mediocre. Anyway, he was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And his first year on the Dodgers, he became a 20-game winner. Now, I'm not so bakant in what's going on nowadays, I don't know, but back in the day, that's considered to be like very successful. Is that still considered to be very successful, 20-game winner? Yeah, he became a 20-game winner. So, someone asked him, Vos epis, you went from having a losing record to becoming a 20-game winner just because you were traded to the Dodgers. Well, that already would explain a lot of it. But he said the following thing happened to him. Listen to the mice. The manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, this big roly-poly guy, liked a lot of pasta. Anyway, he's walking in the tunnel, walking one direction, and this pitcher is walking the other direction. They're going through the tunnel, it's just them. You know, there's the dugout, and then there's the tunnel to the, you know, to whatever else goes out. What's that place over there? The locker room, whatever. Do you know sports, Bichlal? Anyway, from the dugout to the locker room, and there's the tunnel, okay? Here it goes. So they're walking, and they're passing each other. And as they're passing, this is what he tells this guy. As they're passing each other, the head coach shoves him up against the wall, looks him straight in the eye, dead serious, and says to him, Mike, you're going to win 20 games this year. Just like that. And I said, okay. He said, that's it. That's it. When someone tells you you're going to be a 20-game winner, you walk around differently. It's like, and that changed him, and he became a 20-game winner just from someone. And that's the difference between a great head coach, by the way, and not great head coach. If you give someone, you believe in them and you motivate them. So he became a 20-game winner, and that's what it takes: teaching people to believe in themselves. We so often undershoot ourselves. Most people, they don't shoot high and miss. They shoot low and they hit their target. Why? Because having like a low self-esteem is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So like, I can't do that. You're right, they can't. Because if a person says I can't, he can't. But if a person says I can, so then he can accomplish so much more that he didn't think that he could accomplish. And it just has to learn how to believe in himself. So if we believe in him, if we tell him what he's capable of accomplishing, then all of a sudden, He becomes capable of it. Says the Pia Setzna, Tzorech ha-melamed va'av, l'chapes achar eza mida toiva she'esh b'talmud, u'le'shabechoy, praise him for it, v'chazkehu, and to give him chizik v'loimer, kama hachshora, how talented are you, v'yecholis, how much capability shall gadlus b'toira v'avoida, how much you could be, how great you could be, and that is what's waiting for you. That is your destiny. If you would just work hard, because nothing comes easy. It's great if a person believes in what he's capable of, but if he's not ready to roll up his sleeves and work, so then nothing's going to happen, because everything is hard work. No one ever accomplished anything without working hard. But it has to be done with seichel. You tell someone how talented he is. Sometimes people get haughty, they get like, oh, become balei gaiva. This is not a major problem for our generation in general. We struggle much more with low self-esteem than with high self-esteem. But you have to be careful. You have to make sure that you do it with chachma, with pikhus. First of all, a person has to believe it. A person has to know his Talmud well enough to be able to say that I believe in you. You know, you could say it to anyone and it just means nothing. So you're a cheerleader. It doesn't mean anything. But if you really, your Talmud feels like you really know him, you understand him, and you believe in him, then you can unleash what's there. There's a beast that's inside of us that's absolutely amazing. And Rabbi said, we know this story time and time and time again. I can tell you numerous stories that had happened of people that they were subpar. They were sub-average, and they tried learning, and it didn't go for them. But they got the conviction, they got the strength to believe in themselves, and they became great people. I'll give you a few stories, short stories. Pesach Pruskin. You might never have heard of Pesach Pruskin. He's famous because his Talmud was Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, that's no obviously, you know, no small thing. Rav Pesach Pruskin was in the same yeshiva as my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather, who I mentioned, the yeshiva, the Rebbe of Yitzchak Shiner, just you could get some frame of reference. My great-grandfather wrote on him that he didn't know how to learn. He was very schwach in learning. It was like a little bit of a joke. But the family knows. One of my Talmidim, his name is Zelig Goodman, Talmidim from the Mir. He was an enokler of Pesach Pruskin. He said, in the family we know, they're familiar with the story. Now, Pesach Pruskin was very shvach in learning. And he became a Rosh Yeshiva, and his Talmud was Rav Moshe Feinstein. He changed the world, right? Someone who was mamish, my elder Zayda was in yeshiva with him, and he was like a low yitzchak. He changed the world. He had a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's Pilei Plan. It's famous about the Netziv. The Netziv, who grew up in a very illustrious family. He was the shvachest in the family. He was mamish. He was the one kid who just couldn't get it together, the Netziv. He became Rosh Hashiva Valozhin. His svarim are in every single base medrash, practically in the world. You practically don't have a base medrash that doesn't have a Hamik Dover, Netziv, Merume Sada, Hamik Shaila. His svarim, when they came out with his svarim, his family was so shocked. They couldn't even believe it was him. They thought maybe he stole it from someone or something. It's like, where is this from? It's like, it's not normal. He didn't know anything. But he worked, and he became someone great. Because he was willing to believe in his mission, and he was willing to work on it. Rabbi Saul Salanter says a very important nekuda about the whole story about Rabbi Akiva. We're familiar with the story about Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva is someone who didn't learn until he was 40. But what we're not, I don't know if everyone is aware of, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanti, it wasn't just a pshat, he never went to yeshiva or anything like that. Rabbi Akiva was the type of person who tried learning. He wasn't like he didn't try, he was working on it. It just didn't go in. His head was hard as a rock. Nothing was penetrating into his head. So he gave up after a while. And that's why he was so jealous. It wasn't just that he didn't, you know, he was like a cavalier about learning, didn't care. He cared, he was jealous, he was angry at people that learned. Because he tried so hard and he was a failure. Until he realized, together with his wife, that you just got to keep at it. And maybe you're hard as a rock, but if water keeps dripping on a rock, water can penetrate a rock. So you just keep learning, keep doing it. Just keep going. And Rabbi Akiva worked like crazy. Really, really hard. But he became possibly the greatest Talmud Chacham in the history of the world. Greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Someone who was a low yutzlach. He was not successful. Now how did that happen? That happened from a tremendous amount of work. But a person has to believe in his mission to be able to work that hard. I'm not going to work so hard and then end up with nothing. And Rabbi Akiva did it. And we can do it. Reb Chaim Kanievsky did it. I heard Eidos, maybe you've heard me say this, I've said it before. I heard Eidos from Rabbi Meir Bronstein. He's a Rosh Hashiva, told me over from someone that he met was in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's class in Cheder. And he said Reb Chaim Kanievsky was Hachi Garua Bakita, which means he was the worst kid in the class. The weakest. He does not have a particularly fast mind. He just works like crazy, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's not normal how hard the man works. And he's just at it. And when you learn for 21 hours out of 24 a day, and you don't stop, So it's amazing what you can accomplish. We can accomplish great things. It's just a question of, are we willing to roll up our sleeves? We have to believe in who we are. And a person realizes, I have a mission in this world, I can become someone great, and it's not too late. If you think about it, I'm absolutely positive that I would probably say probably everyone in this room knew more Torah than Rabbi Yitzchak Shiner did when he was your age. He was 18 years old, he didn't even know what a yeshiva is. Didn't even know what a yeshiva is. Could you imagine? We're for sure more advanced than he was. It's just that he had a tremendous passion and a drive and Mesiras Nefesh. It was Mesiras Nefesh for him. To come to yeshiva was a real Mesiras Nefesh. He grew up in Pittsburgh. Yeah. He went to public school. None of his friends were in yeshiva. Not one. He didn't have one friend in yeshiva. So when he went to yeshiva, he was in it 100%. We need to be in it 100%. For us, being in yeshiva isn't necessarily our Mesiras Nefesh. But there's tremendous Mesiras Nefesh in being stark, in being serious, in a person being machbin on his davening, on his starim. It's Mesiras Nefesh for us. If you're ready to do that, you can become real greatness. And Klal Yisrael has a void of great people right now. Wish someone here would fill that void. Wish everyone here would fill that void. Loi tzianu eskol hamakoymois batoyra v'shulchan aruch. We have not pointed out all the different places in Torah and Shulchan Aruch that are like important pieces for chinuch. Asher moirim lanu es darke achinuch v'asher b'doireinu zetzrichim lahoysev l'daktik v'hem, which guide us in the way of chinuch, and in our generation we need to add and to be very careful about it. Ki kochol asher yarbe l'chapes yimtzeu. If you look, you'll find it. Just look, hafoichba, as you mentioned before. Hafoichba, turn it over, the kula buds, everything is there. Nochoyim. Sheize pamim b'shavua. Rabbi said we're going to try to finish the akdama. Sheize pamim b'shavua yilmad amalamin imat talmid. Medrash oy ein Yaakov, you should learn Medrash. Ein Yaakov, by the way, we have a great book here. It's called The Medrash Says, or if you want one with pictures, it's called The Little Medrash Says. It's a great book. It's fun. It's a fun thing to learn. A Rebbe should learn with his Talmidim, this types of stuff. Kvar amarnu chachomenu zechorna levracha. Ritzoin chashetakir es mishamar v'hoya ilum lemoid hagadah. You want to be makir Hashem, the one who said and the world was created? Learn some Haggadah, learn some Haggadah. V'atalmid Haggadah yoyser yilamid ba'atzmoy. Someone who's a little bit more sophisticated can learn it by himself. He doesn't need his Rebbe to teach it to him. K'sheroitza malamid loymar l'fnei talmidov eze inyon misifrei ha-musar. When a Rebbe wants to say some musar to his talmidim, toiv shelo yidaber b'fnei b'inyonei oynesh levad. Don't just speak about being punished. And if you do the wrong thing, you're going to Gehenom. And you will burn an everlasting purgatory. Don't do that only. That's not the only thing you do. Do that too. But also, Rak Gam, you could have fun of me. Yoni Gadlus Nishmas Yisrael. Speak about how great it is to be a Yid. About the greatness of your Neshama. This Karavu Sol Hashem, and how close you can get to Borei Olam. Alusam Gam Al Matzav HaMalochim. And how higher we are even than Malochim. Says the P.S.S. Nerebbe. Haflo vofele. He says Yisrael is a higher dagger than a malach. Fenova says to you, wow, his mama's like a malach. Higher than a malach. Higher than a malach. Pilei ploim. Listen to what the Heilige Sefer Shabbos Malchus. Shabbos Malchus is written by Reb Shimshon Pinkus. This is an unbelievable vart, my friends. He asked the following question. Why is it that when we come Friday night, we wish the malachim, Borechem l'shalom, thank you for coming, shalom aleichem, Borechem l'shalom, Borechim l'shalom, all those good things, and then, Tzeischem l'shalom. What does he got to leave for? Stay as long as he wants. What if he's like, goodbye, thanks for coming, bye. Why are we pushing them out the door? Right? So one pshat is, whenever you go, listen, I can't see when you're going because I can't really see you, so whenever you go, you should go, you know, that's one pshat. Another pshat is, we're saying goodbye to the vachatik malochim, the ones from Choyl, those, goodbye. The ones from Shabbos, you can stay. Another pshat is, that Klal Yisrael and Hashem, it's like a marriage. The whole Shabbos, I don't want to go into all the details now. I want to get to the pshat that the Shimshon Pimkus says. He says the following pshat. This is based on an Or Chaim HaKadosh. Klal Yisrael is able to masik on Shabbos a darga that is beyond Malachim. Beyond Malachim. The Malachim can't be masik such a darga. Chaviv in Yisrael yoyser mi Malachim. It's Rashi Tevas Chaim. Chaim's Chaviv in Yisrael, Yoyser mi Malochim. Klal Yisrael is able to be masig on Shabbos, a darga above malachim. Says Ibshim Shempinkis, malachim, sorry, this is not for you. You're underage. You can't chat this. What's going to happen here tonight, you're not going to be able to get. We can reach a darga more than malachim. What's the darga we reach more than malachim? I think it's pashut. It's my own interpretation. I think it's pashut. Malachim don't have a goof. Malachim don't know how to eat. Malachim don't know how to serve Hashem from food. Malachim don't know how to like have a gishmak a Shabbos meal with zmirois and divrei Torah. They don't know what that is. They know how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu one dimensional, just pure ruchni. They barely have a goof. They don't eat anything. They don't know. We know how to make kiddush. We know how to be makadish the Shabbos. We know how to have a yisham yisei. Rashi says extra food. We eat more. We drink more, and we do it in a holy way. We do it in the right way. That malachim have no hasag of what that is. It will take a Shabbos meal, simcha, basar, yayin. Person, do it right, do it in the proper way, and that's something that the malachim, they can't even be masik. So that a yid is able to reach a darga that a malach can't chap. And a person can understand the opportunities we have when we reach Shabbos, to make Shabbos halig, to do Shabbos properly. Now, not everyone is ready to do Shabbos right. And it's such a shame because we have an opportunity to make a matziv where we're reaching somewhere where the malachim only can wish to reach. Say ischem l'sholem, malachim, sorry, it's not for you. Ki af shenefesh hanar nichna min hamusar v'ha'inesh. Even though for sure when a person gives a nar musar, so for sure he's going to be nichna, he's going to bow, you're going to create subjugation by giving him criticism, musar, a punishment, whatever it is. Avaloi rak she'enu miskareves lanu b'zeh bilvad. Not only is he not going to come closer to us, with that alone, rak gampetza israchkus. But we spoke about there's a wound, there's a distance, there's a disconnect between the generations. In Iskala Yechola Bezele Heores Boy, Ukishemarbele Gamdi Regalus Yisrael. But when you speak about how great a Yid can be, speak about how great he's what he's capable of. As Gamdi Rehamusur Yoilu, even the Musur will help more. Nefesh Anar Tis Oyrevitis Lahev. Adrava. Talk about how much he's capable of accomplishing. Talk about what he could be. Talk about how much you believe in him. And then you bring him close. A yid is capable of so much. It says by Avram Avinu, when he was serving the malachim, now the malachim weren't really eating, the Svarim say, Avram Avinu was on a madriga above the malachim, he was standing on top of them. Doesn't mean he was physically on top of them, it means he was higher than them. A yid can reach a darga through chesed, through Yaakov Avinu's chesed as a chnasas orchem, which came at tremendous expense. If we would only understand what we're doing. Rabbi Yisai, I just want to make mention of the fact that the yeshiva has supplied already, I believe, around 2,500 boxes of food for people in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, across all Eretz Yisrael. And the guys did it. They did it during their Rabbeinu Sedarim. Basically, we did it. You know, we cut out a little bit of Musar Seder, whatever. But during dinner, and they were working really, really hard. And that's an amazing thing. And I appreciate how amazing we have an opportunity to feed. We're feeding Yidden. These Yidden, you know, this is an organization that Baruch Hashem. It's a very, very it's a very efficient organization. They usually have people come from the army. They have people come from seminaries. They have people come from. From tourists that come, and there are people doing, and they tell me usually they end up with around 100 boxes a week, a night. I mean, when a group comes, everyone's comes over. We do around 700 boxes in an hour, but they come, they get it done, and it's also good, it's also good PR. They take pictures, they show people, they send it to them, and they get donations. So there's no one coming. There's no one to do the job. We are the only ones doing the job. So people are literally have food on their table. They have soap. They have shampoo. They have ingredients just because we stepped up. And I think that a person should appreciate. There's an amazing thing you're doing. There's something happening there that's like above the darga of a malach. A person is like saying, you know what, I'm gonna put aside my time, and I'm gonna take care of other people, and even though we have a good time doing it, and I know we have a good time, but it's not monkey business. We're not going over there like, you know, just like playing games. The Olam is like focused and zoned in, and like we want to do something, we want to accomplish and feel good about the fact that I can tell you, I'm pretty confident Avraham Avinu felt very good about his chesed too. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about your chesed. Nothing wrong with that. It's great. Right? You feel a sense of accomplishment. Avraham Avinu, it was a rough day, it was a hot day, and he went and he did it. I'm sure he was very happy. It's great to be happy. It's great to be happy to do good things. That's amazing. It's amazing to be proud of the fact that I'm doing something good. We have opportunities in our lives. Doesn't have to be Yad Eliezer. In everyone's life, in every single situation, we have opportunities to be mechazik people, to help people. It doesn't have to be something as dramatic as, you know, as that type of thing of, you know, feeding poor people. But just saying hello to someone. Realize what you accomplished. There's someone who might desperately want a hello from you. It could be he wants a hello from you because he thinks you're a popular guy and he wants to be your friend. It could be he just wants a hello from anybody because he wants someone to notice him. I remember when I was a bacher, there was someone in my yeshiva who was blind. And it wasn't easy. So one time I said to him, "How you doing?" He didn't answer. I said, "How you doing?" He didn't answer. So I said to him, "How you doing?" He said, "Do you really care how I'm doing? Or are you just saying that?" Everyone always says, "How you doing?" So sometimes people want to know that you actually care about them. If you say, "How you doing?" and you actually ask him, "How you doing?" Like, you know, "I really want to know." And you listen to his answer. What is his answer? Or it's just, "How you doing?" And you just keep on going on. That someone can actually, it means something that someone actually cares about them, is thinking about them, really wants to know how they're doing. And you're important to somebody. You could do tremendous chesed just with that alone. I know I often make it as a joke, but it's a point. The highest rate of suicide, at least back in the day, was amongst toll takers. People that would stand at tolls, they don't have them as many as they used to. It used to be before they had, what's that tag thing that they have?
Easy Pass.
Before Easy Pass, so everything was tolls and toll takers. And you stand there, and there's hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many thousands of people passing you every day, and they're totally ignoring you. They actually have like no interest in you at all. Imagine feeling like I'm nobody, they kill themselves. The highest rate of suicide was amongst toll takers. So when I used to go to a toll, I would like say, "Hey, how you doing?" And then a driver would say, "I just saved a life." You know, like actually like said, "I, you know, like care about you. Hey, how's it going?" Like take an extra second just to, you never know. There's one person which I want to tell you, I want to point out to you. I used to travel pretty much. When you get out of customs, so you walk through doors, there's someone standing behind the door. That is the boringest job on the planet. Because no one sees you, Bichlal. Your job is to make sure they don't walk back in the door. You know what I'm talking about, that person? You know, there's someone there because you're not allowed to walk back in, so they're standing there. Nobody ever says anything to them. No one sees them. If you would just turn around and say, "Thank you very much for keeping us safe," or something like that, or, you know, or "Hello, have a great day," or something, you could save a life. You could save a life. But you can do more by saying hello to the guy in the room next to you, or your roommate, or someone that, you know, something, or someone spills something. This is just helping pick it up a little bit. Kali Yisrael can reach a darga of Yoyser Mimaloch. Let's finish up, Rabbi Yisrael. I'm sorry, it's a little late. Let's finish up the prayer. V'chein es ha-moshul lo yiznechu ha-melamnim v'ovi sabonim. And also, it's important to know the mushul, the power of a mushul. The Halig of Dubna Magid. I will explain to you, the Dubna Magid was a friend of the Vilna Goyim. It's not easy to be a friend of the Vilna Goyim. No slouch there at all. The Halig of Dubna Magid, he was known for his mashalim, right? Stories. We think story time is for children. Stories aren't for children. Stories are important things a person should be able to tell. The Chavetz Chaim was famous for his mashalim. Rav Nachman of Breslov used to say, some people tell stories to put people to sleep. I tell stories to wake people up. It's stories where these are powerful stories. The Mashalom Zel kvar his harnu chachomer zechon avrocha. Rabbanim Amron al yu a mashal zeh kal beinecha. Mashal shouldn't be light in your eyes. It's important. Vayidei a mashal zeh adam yochel lamod b'divrei Torah ad kan. The magician Shira Shirim says if you have a mashal, a person through the mashal can be oimen in divrei Torah. U'biyoyser tzrichim l'shamish boi ben orim. And particularly with young people, they have a very active imagination. V'lo b'divrei seichel haTorah bilvad. Not just pure intellect. Rakam binyone amusar. Also, when it comes to musar, tzrichim le'daktek b'mashal. L'saproi soynachem, tell a story. Tell a story, right? Ala seder kilo ha'maisa kachoyev. And try to make the story as if it was real. To make a story as if it was real, and a person can actually live the story. Kikach darcha shel hanar. That's the way of young people. Afshir deyoshu rak mashal. Even though he knows it's only a mashal, still he gets into the mashal, gets involved. And it becomes real for him. He gets so nispal from it, even more than the nimshal. I have a friend, Nassan Nusbaum. I haven't said his name in a long time. We were Bachar in Yeshiva together in Pesach. So he went to Liberty Science Center, Chveitz, one of these things, and they had these things, a big IMAX. Now, Nassan is a Gor Yeshivasha, and screens are not the types of thing that he saw very often before. This is probably one of the first times he's actually, and he sat there watching an IMAX, and in the IMAX, you were scuba diving, and you're getting to see all the cool fish, and the sharks, some of the different things, and you're right, and he's in this IMAX, and all of a sudden, he's running low on oxygen. In your tank, in the movie, you're running low on oxygen. And you gotta get to the top, you're running and not having oxygen. Right? And it's getting like really tense, right? Nassan started hyperventilating. They literally, he was lying on the floor, they had to call the ambulance. He was like, he was gone. He was like, he couldn't deal with it. Why? Because, you know, he was literally living this movie. He's like, and that was it. They called the ambulance, they shut everything down. It's like, but that's the way we get sucked into a mashal. We get sucked into a mushel, and that mushel becomes us. And by the way, mushel can be very powerful. They can be powerful for good and very powerful for bad. You know, for example, one of the things that Eitzah that I got once is that never like start up with an Italian right after he walked out of a Rocky Balboa movie. Because the Italians, they're ready to like go at you, you know? Because he was that guy. He was there. He was in the movie. He was like, he was fighting and he's going to beat up anybody. It's not just Italians. When we enter into a mashal, we become that person. And that's why it's tricky, dangerous, to get into bad mashalim. Mashalim that have very unhealthy messages, unhealthy activity. And a person goes into that mashal, he becomes that person. And if a person gets into a good mashal, he lives that mashal, he becomes him, and it could bring out very positive qualities and thoughts and feelings. If the mashal is a good mashal. V'chein b'kuntra zeb perek dalet. In this sefer itself, there's a mashal. Herachnu k'tas b'sipur ha-mashal. Af she'enu nochutz kol kach l'guf ha-nimshal. Tzianu es hanhogas ha-sandalar im tfilosoy. The heiligas handler. I can't wait to learn that mashal with you. V'oifin she yispal ha-nar mimenu. It's so unbelievable. It's an unbelievable mashal. V'yis'oir ma'at shelo lachmaid kol kach ha-so'ilam. You learn from this mashal. If you can try to get into the mashal, become the person, the sandaler in the mashal, you won't be so, like, so much, you won't have so much, you won't covet, you won't be so jealous, you won't desire so much this world. Rak liskarev la'Hashem, just to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'toira v'avoida, b'emes, b'ez Hashem, we'll start the sefer, hopefully, next week.